You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's a big world out there, and you're just looking for a pat on the back or head. You run around the city, searching for a place to bark, working your tail off with your nose to the ground, sniffing for a few scraps, hoping someone will throw you a bone. You take each lead, collar after collar, hoping one day to take a bite out of success and become the top dog. Fortunately, you come home each day to open arms, open cans, a drink waiting for you, and a comfortable place in front of the TV set. You know you've got it good, really good, because after all, it's a doggy dog world out there. Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with your host, pet expert, and award-winning author, Liz Palaika, and this week's co-hosts, Kate Abbott and Petra Burke.
Hi, welcome to It's a Doggy Dog World. I'm your host, Liz Palaika, and with me today are my good friends, Petra Burke.
Hello.
And Kate Abbott.
Howdy.
And today we're going to be talking about car safety. One of my pet peeves, in fact, I saw it on the way here to the Kindred Spirits training yard to record this, is someone driving with a dog on their lap. And this was a big dog. This was an Australian Shepherd.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We were getting ready to make a left turn. My husband and I were in the van. And coming up next to us was an SUV. And on this gentleman's lap was a big Blue Merle Aussie on the lap between the guy and his steering wheel. And all I could think of was the airbag going off and crushing that dog.
Was the window down?
The window was down.
Yeah, of course.
And crushing that dog up against his owner's chest, potentially killing both of them.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It's just so unsafe. And
after the dog has gotten entangled in the steering wheel and caused an accident.
And distracted the driver. Because he saw our dogs in the back of our van and was laughing and waving and the dog was barking. And usually we see it with the little toy dogs, the chihuahua sticking her head out the window. But it's just totally unsafe. So we're going to be talking today about all kinds of car safety and everything from where the dog should ride to restraint systems and even car sickness. So hold on, take a listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Sit. Stay. It's a Doggy Dog World. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, 4 to be exact.
Fasten your seatbelts, put your seatbacks and sleeping pets in their full upright position, and prepare for takeoff.
Pet Life Radio presents Travel Tales, the show where you'll get great travel ideas on perfect places for you and your pet. From Paris to paradise, south of the border to the South Seas, Travel Tales will give you cool tips on fun vacation destinations to travel with your pet, pet-friendly hotels, and advice on how to travel safely and happily with your furry best friends. So, get ready to pack the bags and the bones with your Travel Tales hosts, Susan Sims and Nicholas Veslowski, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. We know you're begging for more. So back to It's a Doggy Dog World with your fetching hosts, Liz Palaika, and this week's co-hosts, Kate Abbott and Petra Burke.
Welcome back to It's a Doggy Dog World. Today, Kate, Petra, and I are going to be talking about car safety. And I guess the first thing that we need to talk about is why we have to even pay attention to this.
Because I like to take my dogs with me everywhere I go that I can.
So do I. Definitely. But I think the important thing is we make sure everybody, humans, are restrained in the car. Why not our pets?
Sure.
Especially they're the ones that, like Liz mentioned, react when another car comes up and there's a dog in it. How many times have we seen the dog go whoosh on the other end of the car? Or back and forth, or jump to the front or to the back? I sit there going, oh my God, you're going to end up in an accident.
Yeah. So there's... dog could cause an accident by distracting or interfering with the driver. Mm-hmm. Little dogs on the lap, that doesn't mean they're not going to jump down and get between your foot and the brake pedal.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Especially with people eating in the car, too.
Yeah. 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 Look, there's a Cheeto. Get after it. You know.
Then there's the dangers of the dog putting his head out the window, bugs in the eyes, or the dog jumping out. We had a client who said her dog jumped out of the car. Luckily, mm-hmm. she was okay.
Now, she was even, her teenage daughter was holding the dog on the lap.
Right.
In the passenger side.
Right.
That still didn't stop the dog from jumping out. I mean, do it. You can't react as fast.
Oh, I think there was, I saw, it wasn't too long ago, a dog literally halfway out the window, and all you see is the owner holding onto the collar. Yeah. But they're just comfortable driving around, and the dog is literally half out the window, just enjoying himself, the wind blowing in his face, and I'm thinking, oh my God.
And the bugs.
Yeah.
And the rocks.
Figure all the injuries could happen to the animal, or of a sudden stop or swerve or something.
Yeah.
The collar's not going to restrain the dog. Dog's going to go out the window. I thought, stupid.
And then what happens if there's an accident? You know, what's going to happen to your dog if somebody hits you or you hit somebody else? If your dog's not restrained, he's going to go flying.
A couple of years ago, there was an article in the paper about a gentleman who was driving in a van with, I don't remember the details, I'll say four small dogs. He went off the road in a mountain area, and it was a couple of days before he was found, and the other three dogs died on impact. Only one dog survived to hang out with him and keep him alive. But you know, they were just thrown around, and that the tumbling of the car and the impact and all of that killed the dogs.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, sure. Well, then if you... You know, and then we saw the aftermath of what could happen if your dog is restrained in a crate, fine, but you got to restrain the crate.
Right.
Especially if it's in the back of, we're assuming it was a pickup, because all we found was the dog in the crate, and unfortunately the dog did not make it.
Then the dog wasn't even in the crate when you found
it. No, it's a crate that didn't kill him. It's
crate apparently bounced,
popped open, and then got hit by
dog
a car.
Got hit.
Yeah.
And they were found, 500 yards apart?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Very sad.
Poor little dog. Yeah. And then Kate did some research. It says a 30-pound dog can exert 900 pounds of force in a 30-mile-per-hour collision.
I mean,
that's amazing.
That's about going through a residential area. I mean, usually 30 it's miles 25, an hour. But, you know, a lot of us, cheat a little bit, go 30.
Here comes the kid you always see in driver safety bouncing the ball, and then it rolls out into the street.
And you slam the brakes on, and there goes your 30-pound dog. Boom.
That is just amazing.
And even if he doesn't hit you, and the pressure on the dog, he slams into the front dashboard.
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the back headrest of your seat. Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about different ways to restrain the dog then. First of all, he needs to be out of the front seat, if at all possible.
Because that's where airbags are.
That's where the airbags are.
Especially the newer vehicles. I know old ones don't have the passenger one, but new ones do.
And the airbag hitting a dog of any size could potentially kill him.
It's hard enough on humans when airbags
go
off.
Sure. The airbags can cause a lot of injuries. You know, it's usually not life-threatening, and it's better than the alternative.
Right.
But it can still cause injuries. So on a dog... I mean, that's...
And an unrestrained dog at that.
Right.
I mean, that's... As I found out today, airbags are called SRS, secondary restraint systems. The first one is the seat belt.
Okay, Kate's full of trivia.
Yeah, I know.
And the seat belt, that's probably one of the most popular restraint systems for dogs, is harnesses that are made specifically to be hooked to a closed seat belt. So most of them have... either a loop that the seatbelt can go through and hold the dog in one position. He can shift back and forth, but he can't really leave that seat position. He could sit up or lay down. And that's probably one of the most popular systems.
Second, I'm going to say crates. Mm-hmm. I know Liz and I use it a lot. You know, whether it's in the back of a van or like in the pickup, I strap down the crates very securely if they're in the back of the truck. But the dogs are safe in there.
Mm-hmm. And with the crates, I think we need to talk about what size. We don't want to put a medium-sized dog in a Great Dane crate. Because then he's bouncing around in there. Right. And he's still got the potential of being harmed. So when my husband and I had the pickup, we used crates that were really just a little small. The dogs could shift around, but they were a little smaller than the crates we would use in the house. And that way, if we did have to brake suddenly or swerve, the dog would shift, but he wasn't going to be bounced around too much.
Exactly.
And what we did with our crates is we actually put a bolt through the bottom of the crate and through the bed of the truck, and then had a cargo net on top, so it was doubly secured. But that doesn't make it easy for the crate to come in and out.
I'm sort of geeky. Sometimes I just amuse myself.
in her own world.
I'm in my own. When you fly on the airlines and you put something over in the overhead compartment, and it says, caution, contents may have
shifted
during the flight. And I'm thinking, you don't want your dog to be shifting during travel. The whole idea is to keep them safe and restrained.
If only Kate would go down that weird road.
That way. Yes. And that's why we like to keep her around. She's so amusing.
Oh, boy. Barriers.
Barriers are good for keeping the dog from distracting the driver.
Right.
But they're not as great about protecting the dog because it's still something they're going to slam into. And
if they're in the back of an SUV, they can still bounce around.
Yeah, and I've seen the way some people install their barriers, and frankly, I mean, that would just going to come loose and be part of the missile headed towards the back of your head.
I agree. Yeah.
So it's, you know...
It can help prevent an accident by not disturbing the driver.
It'll keep the dog
passenger
from
ever
bouncing on the driver.
That's kind of the way I think about it.
Yeah, but as far as safety, I wouldn't necessarily keep it.
They can rely upon it.
There's also, I'm not quite sure what they're officially called. I call them like hammocks or slings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think those actually are more for the dog's comfort and for protecting the back seats. They don't restrain the dog.
No.
I've seen them installed in cars and SUVs, and the dog has... It turns the back seat into a nice little hammock area for the dog. And probably does a really good job from protecting the upholstery. However... They shouldn't be assumed to be restraint systems because, as far as I know, there's no seatbelt hookup for them. There's no other restraint in there that's just putting the dog in a nice, comfortable
place.
I've
seen a few that have that as an extra, but that's not the primary
restraint.
Right. Boosters for little dogs. I've got one for my Palm, and it does have a
harness
looking thing in the booster seat to hold them in place. And the booster seat is, oh my God, it has so many latches and things. That will not go anywhere in my car. Oh my God. You tied to this and that and this. I'm like, okay, you're safe in there. Safer than me. It's almost like a 5-point harness for a dog in a booster seat.
Sure.
It's incredible.
Those little guys will get thrown around too.
Yeah.
So if you've got a dog that's, if your car can't fit a crate that's big enough for your dog, then you got a harness. And if you can't find a harness small enough for your dog, then go for the booster seat with latch up.
Sure.
Yeah.
That way.
Now, one thing, we mentioned crates, but let's talk about the types of crates.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are several different types. Personally, I think either the wire, solid wire, that's more like a cage, or the plastic, heavy plastic crates are probably the best. The soft-sided crates can probably keep the dog in one spot, but they're not going to give a lot of protection.
No, because, I mean, you see dogs move around in there. They're just moving.
And how many dogs have we heard of that chewed their way out of those?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So the nice part is some of those actually have connections so they can be secured easily.
Right.
And they're a little more convenient to take and put away when you're not using them. But not as much.
Not as much protection. Right.
Life is always a trade-off.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about, before we go on to tips about safety, let's talk about training, because that's what we're all about, and I think training has a big part of keeping a dog safe. One of the things that we see here at the Kindred Spirits Training Yard is people opening the car door and the dog dashing out without a leash on, running up and down.
Yeah, how many times have we just stood in the yard, watched them try to call their dog, and dogs, hey, this is fun, let's go visit them and that.
And meanwhile, the dog's running on the street.
Yep.
I think a big part of car safety is teaching the dog to wait for permission to get in the car and out of the car. How many times we've gone traveling and we've stopped at a restaurant or at the gas station or whatever, open the car door, and the dogs wait.
Yeah.
I mean, not just daily living, but traveling also.
Well, and then Kate had the experience of breaking down the freeway.
Oh, there was an accident on the freeway.
Right.
Yeah.
And put my dogs in a friend's car, four-door sedan, and somebody left one of the back doors open. So, midnight on a fairly busy highway.
In the fog.
In the fog. And two black dogs that would not have been seen at all were sticking their heads out the door going, can we get out and play? Can we please? Can we play on the freeway, please? But they did not get out, even though I hadn't said anything. They know they're not supposed to get out or in without permission.
It's habit.
Even well, in another car.
And I think in that case, they're probably more worried of you or making a phone call, and that's what will happen when you're in an accident. You're not going to think about, you know, shutting all the doors. You got so many things trying distracting you. Are the people okay? Is the traffic coming? Did you call 911? Blah, blah, blah. All these things going through your head. Somebody will leave a door open.
Sure. Right?
So having your dogs trained to stay there until permission is great. Life-saving.
Which is a good, you know, that is our goal, is to train our dogs for those emergency, but just for everyday life, it's nice too.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talking to a friend who is a former EMT. They love to see dogs in a, they don't love to go to accidents, but when they do and they see a crate, there's like a sigh of relief knowing that that animal is safe. They can deal with a human.
And that dog isn't trying to protect his incapacitated human.
Yeah.
I know darn well that if something happened to me, Bashir and Riker, Archer would probably just give kisses.
Yeah.
But Bashir and Riker would probably defend me to the death if some strange men tried to do something.
So you're in an accident and you need medical attention, but they can't do it because your dogs are there and they're probably injured too, which is only contributing to their
stress. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or getting out and running around on the freeway and getting hit themselves. I mean, it's just...
Right.
I can do all sorts of dire scenarios in my head.
And hopefully none of these will ever happen, knock on wood.
But that's why we take these steps.
That's why we train.
And try to protect
right.
against it.
So the way that we teach the wait is we have the dog on leash to wait before getting into the car. We have him sit. We give him the verbal command, wait. We open the car, have the dog maintain the sit until we give him a release and tell him, okay, in the car. And then do the same thing on the way out. Have the dog on leash, sitting in the car, open the car door, and then give him permission to come out. And as they get better at it, has sit, wait, open door, close door, climb in the car, climb out of the car, have the dog wait, load the groceries in the car, load the groceries out of the car, have the dog wait. But just prepare him for all different kinds of scenarios.
That's right. A student was telling me the other day, she has one of those vans where you push the button and the door slides on its own, opens up.
Oh, yeah.
And she'd been to Petco, but left her dog in the car. And coming out, she hit that button and bang, her Australian Shepherd came bounding out.
Oh,
and
dear.
Who was that strange man that was pushing the cart behind her? And he charged him.
Oh.
He didn't make contact, but he charged him. And then he got distracted by somebody else taking their dog into Petco.
No.
It's a lot of fun, apparently.
And let's talk about training the come.
Yeah.
The come when called.
Oh, dear.
Yes, lots of training.
You know, training is not just for the obedient show ring or whatever. It's for everyday
life.
Keeping your dog safe, keeping him as a good companion for you.
All right, well, we need to take a break for our sponsors, but hold on. We'll be right back with all kinds of tips for keeping your dog safe. So hold on.
Sit. Stay. It's a doggy dog world. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Hey!
coast to coast and around the world, it's O'Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. O'Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand. This is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. We know you're begging for more. So back to It's a Doggy Dog World with your fetching hosts, Liz Palaika, and this week's co-hosts, Kate Abbott and Petra Burke.
Welcome back to It's a Doggy Dog World. I'm your host, Liz Palaika, with my good friends, Petra Burke and Kate Abbott, and today we're talking about car safety. In the first half of our show, we talked about some different restraint systems, like using wire or plastic crates, not particularly soft-sided crates, but the hard crates. We talked about seatbelt harnesses, we talked about barriers in the car, and a variety of other safety things. But let's talk about some tips we can add to these systems to help keep your dog safe. First one we talked about was teaching the weight in and out of the car. That's definitely important.
And until you have a good weight, keep your dog on leash before you open the door.
Well, you know what? Even after you've got a good weight, let's use the leash.
Yeah.
First of all, it's a law.
Right. And many times, even after you use the weight, because we've seen it. I think we've seen everything watching our parking lot. You know, people coming in and go, even after the weight, you see the dog come out, they're like, woohoo, we're here, and dash. And how many people lose the leash, and the dog's running around the leash on.
I'm sitting here looking at our parking lot and looking at a bunny rabbit popping around out there. I can, there are too many dogs that would sit still and let a bunny rabbit go bouncing by.
Yep.
So unloading or loading and hold the leash firmly.
Common sense, keep a current ID tag on your dog. And if he's got a microchip, and I hope he does, keep that up to date. In fact, I just got a renewal notice for Archer's that I have to renew his home again registration for his microchip.
That happened a couple of weeks ago. Somebody picked up a couple of strays, no IDs. They were microchipped, but the chips weren't registered. So that was useless.
Yeah. So have identification on them. Petra and I were talking a few weeks ago that we used to, in a galaxy far, far away, we used to do tattoos on the dogs because that was the way of identifying the dog. You put your social security number or the dog's AKC number on the inside of his thigh and then registered that tattoo. Nobody seems to do that anymore. We certainly don't do it anymore. But the problem with the microchip is it's not visible. And right. We don't have readers at home. So when a dog shows up at your door, the only thing he's really got is that tag. Mm-hmm. So have an
Here's a new thought. Tattoo the word microchip on the dog. Then you know they're microchipped.
The mind boggles. That's like the Quaker Oat thing, right? Where he's holding the box of Quaker Oats, he's holding the box of Quaker Oats, he's holding the box. Well, it still doesn't do any good if you don't register the chip.
Let's put a good current ID tag on the dog with, ideally, your cell phone. Yeah. Not necessarily your home phone, your cell phone. I mean, almost all of us have cell phones nowadays, and we have it with us all the time. If you're traveling, you've got your cell phone.
Exactly.
If you have only your home phone on there, then the people get your voicemail.
Because you're out looking for your dog with your cell phone.
Another thing is, let's talk about the stuff you carry in your car. Now, I have a big van, a big full-size van. We call her the fancy van.
Liz loves her van.
I love my van. And people laugh at me because I've always got a lot of stuff in my van. I have a first aid kit for people and dogs that would cover just about anything that happens.
In case of nuclear attack, please see
Liz.
Yeah.
But you know what? That first aid kit's come in handy for all kinds of stuff.
Oh, gosh, it has.
Now, thing with the first aid kit, you got to go through it once in a while and throw out the expired stuff and replenish it and replenish the things that have been used. And I do try to do it every 6 months or so, although there was one time I got a little late and I realized the Pepto-Bismol was about 3 years expired, but...
Good thing we didn't need it.
But anyway, you do have to go through and replenish it. But a first aid kit with everything.
And to know what to do with all that stuff. So the American Red Cross does have pet first aid classes.
Yes.
So it would be nice to be able to know what am I supposed to do with this gauze bandage. And how do I appropriately put it on my dog.
And have a little condensed version first aid book in there.
Exactly.
Mine has one for people and one for dogs.
Which, by the way, you get with the American Red Cross first aid kit.
And no, we do not work for the American Red Cross. However, we do host their first aid clinics. We are believers in them. But, yeah, the first aid kit is very important. We've got one here at the training yard. I've got one in my van. And it's always available. Some other stuff we need to carry.
Water. So she's going to go on a trip. Why don't we always carry water?
Especially if we're going across the desert.
Ice is great. I think that's wonderful. Especially going across the desert like we've done on our trips. Mm-hmm. Dogs are crated. Bowl in there. Put ice. Melts a little slower. And they like to chew on it. Keeps them busy.
I remember one particular trip my husband and I made. We had gone up to the Sierra Nevada Mountains, Sequoia National Forest. And on the way back, not in the fancy van, but in a previous vehicle, the air conditioning went out.
Oh, no.
It was hot. We had two big coated dogs, German Shepherds, and no AC. And we were coming down the mountains and then over Fresno, Bakersfield. So we stopped. Our dogs were in crates. I stopped at a 7-Eleven. We got big 10-pound blocks of ice and put a 10-pound block of ice in with each dog. It melted. Their bellies were all wet. They could lick it. And the air coming in the crate over the ice provided a very primitive source of air conditioning. But you know what? The dogs made it. They were okay. They didn't get overheated. Paul and I were probably hotter than the dogs were. So, yeah,
I remember driving that same stretch one summer, and I waited till dark, thinking it would be cooler. It wasn't. But it did allow me to drive without most of my clothes on and not worry about people seeing me. And stay cool enough. Did I just share that with the world?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I did. Okay. Anyway.
We will not tell you what kind of vehicle Kate drives.
It was many years ago, okay?
That's just such an interesting visualization.
Oh, it was very, very hot.
Next time, sit on a block of ice, all right?
Yeah, okay.
Moving on.
Okay. Now we don't know what to say.
Let's talk about windows.
Okay.
Be careful with your dog in the window. You don't want him to jump out. You want enough ventilation that there's some air. So if your dog is restrained to a seatbelt harness, you could probably roll it down halfway or so, just enough to keep his head in. But don't roll the window all the way down, allow him to put his head out. Or, worse yet, if you're ignoring us and letting your dog run loose in the car, he could go out the window.
Or you can end up like my grandparents' pug, who was, you know, one-eyed Sam for most of his life. Because he let the dogs hang their head out and... it was just a bug, but at 65 miles an hour, that was enough to take out his eye.
Sure, there are also window grates or screens. Now in the back of the van, I can open the windows and we've got screens. Keeps the dogs in and the bugs out, and that's wonderful. In the back of your shell on your truck, you put
That plastic-coated steel grating that you use for
shelves.
Shelving.
Uh-huh.
I put that up over the back. So
that does a couple things. It keeps silly hands out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my windows are low enough that if the dog fell against it, I was worried about the screen not keeping them in, not being strong enough. So I wanted a little more support for them.
Sure. Yep, definitely. Also, how about the dog hitting the buttons of electric windows?
I have to admit, that happened to me too. Yeah. Well, it was Virginia's One of her toy poodles.
Yeah.
Yeah, went over to the, it was in the back seat. That part was good, but not in a harness. And she went over and stepped on the armrest, and that's where the button was. And so she started pushing the window up. Well, rather than pull her head in, she just stepped taller and kept stretching her neck. And, you know, I glanced back. And she was in danger of guillotining herself. So I was able to slam that window lock up front. Because I was driving. I'm like, get the dog! But I had to pull the car over and stop because I had to lock it so she didn't guillotine herself.
But
nobody
stuck.
Could reach back there and get her. Yes. And now she was stuck and couldn't pull her head back in.
And see, we do these podcasts so you learn from our experiences.
Or most of Kate's, at least.
I know better now. All of my dogs are maimed or injured in some way.
Now, let's talk real quick about car sickness. We don't have a lot of time left, but this is a common problem. We hear about it often. When Patron and I went down to the Australian Shepherd Breeder where we got Bashir and Logan... The breeder had been kind enough to feed the puppies before we picked them up and apparently fed them a huge meal. I guess she felt that we weren't going to feed them ever again. And we hadn't even hit the freeway before baby puppy Bashir went erp all over Petra.
Oh. Right on my lap.
Oh.
And it was...
See, another reason you shouldn't have your dog on your lap.
Yeah.
It was a huge meal. Luckily, he never got car sick again.
And we did put him in crates.
And we did.
Before we hit the freeway.
Yes, we did.
So I could dry off my lap.
And just in case the other one erped too. There's a couple things with car sickness. One, lots of very positive rides. A lot of times the only place a puppy goes is to the veterinarians to get a shot. And so they get stressed. Oh my gosh, that's going to happen to me again. So I like to tell people, throw them in the car, go up and down your street, stop, give them a cookie, let them out. Give some positive rides.
Yeah, and it comes to psychological association. Mm-hmm. I get in this thing and I go somewhere and I get hurt.
Or scared.
Or it's just not fun.
Right.
So making it a fun thing for them.
Definitely. There are some natural remedies for car sickness. Rescue Remedy is made by Bach Flower. B-A-C-H. Bach Flower. Usually in health food stores. To name a few brands, Trader Joe and Henry's usually have them, but health food stores will. And that's an anti-anxiety homeopathic remedy. You can put it directly in the dog's mouth, or you can put it in his water.
Ginger.
Ginger is usually pretty good. Peppermint is good. Peppermint tea is great if you can get the dog to drink it out of his water bowl. B-complex vitamins are supposed to be very good. Now, I have to admit, I've used Bach flower, I've used peppermint, I've used ginger. I haven't tried the B-complex vitamins.
Petcom, I've heard of that.
Have you heard of that?
I haven't personally tried it either, but I've heard of it.
It's probably like Bach.
So, yeah.
Some of the commercial things like Dramamine that you take for car sickness or boat sickness, I would definitely talk to your veterinarian first. I'm sure you have to be very careful with the dosage, and I don't know what effect Dramamine might have on dogs. So definitely don't self-medicate your dog. Talk to your veterinarian first. But if your dog does get car sick, you might want to try some of the herbal remedies first or the more natural. The other thing is don't get angry at your dog if he erps in the back of the car. It's not his fault.
There's a good reason to have that hammock in the back.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Plus towels, paper towels.
Somebody
blankets.
Even mentioned that you put newspapers down, and they thought that the smell of the newspapers had a calming effect on the dogs. Now, I don't know about that.
No, I have to admit, I've never heard that one.
That's an interesting idea.
Hmm.
Maybe it just kept the owner calmer, knowing that the cleanup was going to
be easier. Sure.
And, you know, traveling with dogs, you can never have enough towels on board.
Oh, my gosh, that's so true. Or paper towels, even. Just something. Plastic bags, paper towels, towels.
Vinegar for cleanup.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and if your dog does get hot and you don't have a Timbuk vise, you can get the towel wet and have them lay on it, and that'll help.
Sure. Sure.
Muddy paws, all the above.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you've listened to our podcast previously, you know that Petra, Kate, and I love to travel with our dogs. Our dogs are with us almost all the time. So we've got a lot of experience in this stuff, including the cleanup. The big thing with traveling with your dog, whether it be to the pet store, the veterinarian's office, a camping trip, or across the country, is be safe. Keep yourself safe, keep your dog safe, and be prepared. Whether it be having the first aid kit, water, ice, water from home for drinking. Don't forget the water bowl. An unspillable bowl is wonderful. And then the restraint system, so the dog is safe in your car. And with all the preparation, training, and safety, then you'll have a better trip.
Yep, exactly. You know, and I was just thinking, the way we were talking about, we live in California. We don't worry about really cold weather. But when you and I went across the country,
yep,
we made sure the dogs had a lot of blankets to bury in, or, you know, to get nice and warm.
Well, let's see. We hit Montana, and there was an ice storm. The next morning, we left, and there was ice on the bridges.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was your turn to drive, and you pulled over and gave me the truck and said, exactly. I ain't driving on this.
It was her truck. I drive over icy roads with her truck.
I ain't taking the blame for this.
I think that was her words.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, everything.
We went cross country with four dogs.
Yeah, we did. And they were crated. And remember, we had lots of blankets because we did hit a lot of cold weather.
Yep.
Sure.
And the dogs curled up and they were all warm. We made sure they were warm. Yep. And
we had two puppies at that time.
We did.
Yeah. We worry more about overheated cars in this area, but. So, cars can turn into refrigerators, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And before we say goodbye, don't leave your dog in your car.
Definitely.
Don't leave him unattended. He can get stolen. A car can heat up much faster than you expect. Or, in those winter climates, he can get very cold. But don't leave him in your car. Make plans ahead of time to keep him safe when you have to leave the car.
And just general car safety, remember that antifreeze is quite dangerous to dogs, quite toxic, and they like the taste of it. It tastes like Kool-Aid, I've been told. And it's quite dangerous to them.
I will say, Paul and I do make the investment that our vehicles, well, we only have two that take antifreeze. The Volkswagen doesn't, neither do the motorcycles. They do have the pet safe antifreeze. It's more expensive, but we figure our dog's health is worth it, just in case any spills.
It's not that much more expensive.
Not anymore, but it was.
Yeah. You can't expect other people out on the roads. When you stop at those rest stops,
don't
let your dog drink out of that puddle in the parking lot.
Especially if you have a green sheen.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll let you go. Just keep yourself safe. Keep your dog safe and enjoy those trips. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Happy trails.
Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding. Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.